Big news now in the nation's fight against the opioid crisis. A U.S. attorney in Manhattan has filed federal criminal charges against one of the nation's largest pharmaceutical distributors for its role in the opioid epidemic. This is a first. No other major distributor has faced criminal charges related to the crisis. Rochester Drug Cooperative is charged with conspiracy to distribute drugs and defraud the DEA. The company and its executives are accused of distributing tens of millions of opioids to pharmacies where they were not needed, filing fraudulent orders, thereby flooding cities and towns with the drugs. It's the latest chapter in the nation's ongoing quest to get justice for the hundreds of thousands of Americans who have died of opioid overdoses and the many more who are still struggling with addiction. Earlier today, we spoke with Lenny Bernstein about the national landscape of cases related to the opioid crisis. He covers health and medicine for The Washington Post.
The settlement between Purdue Pharma and the state of Oklahoma was the first time since 2007 that Purdue has paid out a settlement based on what it has done, its distribution of pharmaceuticals. And then the upcoming criminal charges that may be lodged against distributors, the large companies that bring the pills to the pharmacies, would be a second moment that we haven't seen since this epidemic began with the diversion of legitimate narcotics.
Let's talk a little bit about the lawsuits that have been reported by the Times, because what are the distributors alleged to have done exactly?
Sure. The law, the federal law, set up a closed system for the way that narcotics come down the supply chain. The manufacturers create the tablets, the drugs in their various forms. They give them to the distributors bring them to the pharmacies dispense them to people who have prescriptions. The law contemplated that the distributors would be the watchdogs, the choke point for these narcotics because they had the best view. So if a pharmacy was ordering 10,000 pills one month and then 100,000 pills the next month, the distributors would see that because they would be filling those orders and they would be able to alert the DEA. What the lawsuits say, and these lawsuits have been filed over the past couple of years, is that the distributors turned their heads and didn't acknowledge this kind of behavior. They didn't respond to this kind of behavior. They basically just let it go on because they made an awful lot of money doing it.
What do these suits tell us about how well the industry is regulated or government oversight of this industry?
I'm going to take the distributors as a whole. There are differences between the companies, but what your listeners need to know is that three companies, McKesson, Cardinal Health, and AmerisourceBergen, control 90% of the distribution of narcotics and other drugs in this country. So the statements that are made in these lawsuits collectively mainly apply to them. What we know is that this tiny little office called the DEA Office of Diversion Control has been waging this behind-the-scenes war against the distribution companies for the better part of the last 12 years. And they have had some notable successes. But in the large scheme of things, even with some of the settlements that the DEA was able to arrange, the advantage is decidedly with the companies. Even when McKesson paid out a $150 million settlement, which sounds like a lot of money, and it sounds like they're agreeing that they did a lot of things wrong, that's just about the amount of money that their CEO took home in a single year. So the regulation of these companies is very difficult for the government.
In a lot of these suits, Lenny, that have big settlements, where does the money typically end up? For example, like where did it go in some of these larger suits? Does it end up in the hands of those who have been hurt by these drugs?
No, rarely. The Oklahoma suit is notable for its settlement because the money is going to go to a large center at Oklahoma State University that is designed to treat and do research and do education and do outreach about the epidemic. It is designed to look forward and abate the damage that has occurred over the past 10 or 12 years. But typically, the settlements against the distributors, and there have been 13 or 14 over the past 12 years, the U.S. Attorney's Office takes a cut, and then the money goes back mostly to the government. It doesn't end up in the hands of families that have lost children or brothers or sisters or parents to the epidemic.
Lenny, are we going to see, is this part of just the overall cost of doing business for pharmaceutical companies who are expecting these financial settlements aren't going to take a big hit on these companies? So is it just rolled into the process, and will we not see any policy change moving forward?
Well, it has been. And the settlements, other than the 150, are more in the two-figure millions, so $34 million, $44 million, $10 million, $15 million. So it has been cost of doing business. Now, there is a gigantic federal suit with more than 1,500 plaintiffs sitting in federal court in Cleveland. That is scheduled to begin in October. And the goal of all those plaintiffs is to make this a comprehensive lawsuit that covers, let's say, tens of billions of dollars in payments from perhaps two dozen companies. That will take its toll on these companies. Some of them will not be able to afford that, most notably Purdue, if they end up having to pay that kind of money.
Lenny Bernstein covers health and medicine for The Washington Post. Lenny, thank you so much.
My pleasure.